Turn it up.
Get ready.
You're tuned in to VO Buzz Weekly.
The show where aspiring voice actors,
established VO pros,
and curious fans alike get to meet and learn.
From the mega successful talent in voiceover.
Hear their personal stories.
Find out how they became so successful.
Learn their secrets and join them at the top.
Come on,
get seriously buzzed with your hosts, Chuck Duran and Stacey J. Aswad.
Hey, everybody, I'm Stacey J.
And I'm Chuck Duran.
Welcome to an awesome new episode of VO Buzz Weekly.
That's right. And man, do we have an incredibly great show for you today.
Oh, boy, you
guys. We have D. Bradley Baker. What this guy does with his voice is amazing, okay?
Yeah.
He will freak you out, literally. Yeah.
Let's go right to the tip of the week because we need to get to D. He's
absolutely. We got a great tip
fierce.
For you. And this is proper recording levels for voiceover. And, you know, the techie guys might know this, but a lot of people really don't. They're just like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. That sound, you know. And there's a proper area where you really should be recording your level. The first thing that you want to do, okay, before I get to that, is you want to make sure that your signal is clean.
Mm-hmm.
So when you got your headphones on and you got your preamp on and your mic's live and you're ready to go, if you hear any kind of hiss or noise, you need to get rid of that first. Okay, it could be a bad cable, it could be, you know, you're plugging something weird.
Because then you're basically going to be recording that.
Exactly, and then nothing's going to sound great. So once you have a nice clean signal, the proper recording level that you want to be recorded at is between minus 18 and minus 10 dB, okay? So on a meter, if this is your meter, I don't care what you're using, Audacity, Pro Tools, Twisted Wave, whatever. If this is your meter, okay, right about the middle, it's going to be where you want to be at, okay? That's about between minus 18 and minus 10 dB. And if you record there, you're awesome. And then once you're finished recording and editing and all that stuff, you normalize your file, ready to be sent out.
And you book the job.
Good, baby. It's good.
Yay!
And you'll book the job. That's how you book jobs.
That's what it's... Oh, I wish...
Yeah. Hello?
We should have done the tip earlier.
Right?
Okay, we have a new viewer who wrote us a great email.
Love viewers.
This is coming from Bobby, who I believe is in the Northwest, Chuck.
Bobby from the Northwest.
Yes. Bobby says, wow, I'm speechless. And that's hard for a voice actor, right? I stumbled across your awesome website last night during my regular VO research mode using Google, and I was blown away. I just spent all morning watching your episodes with Jim Cummings, Scott Rummel, and Jess Harnell. You both do an incredible job of interviewing, and you make your guests feel at home in front of the camera, something that is sometimes very hard for people who are typically behind the mic. LOL. Keep up the great work, and I look forward to watching the rest of your episodes. I just sent your link out to my VO students, so I'm hoping they'll be signing up soon. Take care, Bobby. Thanks,
awesome.
Bobby.
Thank you, Bobby. You rock, dude.
Thanks for watching. Thanks for
Very
sharing
cool.
us with your students. And he's got good taste.
Yeah, he
Jim
does.
Jim Cummings, Scott Rummel, Jess Harnell.
You know
Keep
it,
watching.
Baby.
You only have about, I don't know, 20-some.
Yeah.
Keep
you'll
going,
you'll
Bobby.
Get caught up pretty soon.
Pace yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, Chuck.
What? Oh, no. Okay.
It's monster time.
Seriously speaking, you guys are going to freak out. And without any further ado,
D. Bradley Baker.
That's right.
Check it out, you guys. Our guest is truly brilliant. He has been working in every aspect of voiceover for more than 20 years. You know him for his work on Phineas and Ferb, American Dad, Thundercats, Star Wars, The Clone Wars, and many, many other things. He is an absolutely brilliant creature monster voice guy. You're going to die when you hear it. And he is one of the nicest guys that we have ever met. Check it out. He is D. Bradley Baker.
Hi, America. Hi.
Hi, America.
Hey,
D. Bradley
hi.
Baker.
Hi, talking
D. Welcome
to, America.
To VO Buzz Weekly. Yes, you are. Actually, you're talking
to
more
world.
Than America.
Oh.
Because we're out in over 80 countries around the world now.
The ganze Welt.
How do you, see? Somebody understands German out there.
Your German
right?
friends
yeah,
will.
Okay, we speak in the ditch.
Ah, see? Come on, visit us. We come to you, you come to us.
Omaruba, as they say.
What was that?
It says, come on over.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Nice. The Olympics. Mm. And you said something about the Olympics.
Yes, there are Germans in the Olympics.
Nice.
They're not doing so good.
Dude, no. I gotta tell you, man.
They're more the winter, not so much the summer.
Yeah.
They dominate in the winter games.
That's very true. But, so Stacy, when she was doing a little research on you, because, you know, she likes to really get down and find out stuff
my
about
her
so
Nancy
we can embarrass
Drew.
You guys
oh, okay.
in front of the whole world, right?
No.
So, no, I'm just kidding. But she's like, okay, so seriously, Chuck, you need to go to Dee's website and just check it out. And I didn't know what to expect, really. So I go to your website, I'm checking it out, and I'm literally laughing. I mean, what you do is so freaking insane, and we're going to get to it.
Yeah.
But you blew my mind. I just got to tell you that. I was beyond impressed. I mean, I was just like, is this guy a human, or is he like some kind of robot or something like that?
I live among you as a
right?
human.
Right? Okay. That's what I thought. He's from another planet.
Yes.
How did the whole voiceover thing start off for you? How'd you get into the business?
I've been performing all my life since second grade, doing plays and pretty much any kind of performing that came along that seemed like fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had any aspirations at all or any specific goals in my life other than just to do things that I liked. And so I just kept doing that. And that from the stage to stand up and improv, children's theater, singing telegrams. I was a mall Santa.
You were a mall Santa?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, people throw their kids at you when they're a mall Santa.
Wow. He was a mall Santa.
I was a mall Santa, and I'm proud of it.
Do you still have the suit?
I don't. No, they wouldn't. No, I had to lease the suit.
You could have given it to, like, you know, what's that, Hard Rock Cafe or something? They could have displayed it.
No, I had to pay. I had to pay for the Santa class from the blonde chick that co-owned the company that gave us the suits.
Wow.
But in any case, I just kept doing that. Open mic nights, improv, corporate shows at Disney, all sorts of things. And it eventually just became clear that that voiceover seemed like the most fun career that I could go for, and so I went for that.
You're probably where they got the idea for Bad Santa.
I was a very good Santa.
I was a good Santa.
Were you allowed to talk? Because I know some Santas can't actually talk. They just kind of...
Yeah, well, yeah.
You're supposed to talk.
Oh, Merry Christmas. This big booming voice like that. You just kind of peeking out through here. I'm this skinny little white guy walking around a mall with all this padding.
Yeah.
Trying to use my big Santa voice.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. It's also kind of heart-wrenching. It's a heart-wrenching job.
Mm.
Doesn't pay all that well, and you just kind of get an instant snapshot of a family.
Yeah.
And it's either really nice, or sometimes it's heartbreakingly sad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, damn.
Aw.
Yeah. Kind of bringing down this whole show, talking about it right now.
And...
not really.
No.
Oh.
It's part of life.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
You know. Life isn't always happy.
I forgot. Did you answer my question? How you got into the business?
Well, let's see. Okay. Well, how did it lead there? Then I'm going to get more detailed for you.
Let's
Chuck.
Get a little detailed here.
Stop playing hard to get, Dee. Come on, Dee.
So anyway, next thing that happened was this. That was
his imitation of Dee Baker.
Yeah, that's me. That's actually my real voice. This is my showbiz voice now.
Mm.
So I was doing shows for Disney and stand-up. I do odd little voiceovers as well, as well as commercials and on-camera stuff. And it just became clear that the stuff that I liked to do, that people would hire me to do, was to do odd voices and odd characterizations, you know, physically odd stuff.
Yeah.
And then I got hired to do Legends of the Hidden Temple, which is a game show on Nickelodeon that a lot of people really love and like, and it was a lot of fun to do. And that was just it was a voiceover gig, but it was also kind of puppetry because I had to move the mouth of a giant rock while I was talking. Like,
wow.
Legends of the Hidden Temple. I'd move the mouth with this big wooden lever while it's talking like this. And I, you know, the legend of Granny Nan. You know, I tell legends and use different voices. And Kirk Fogg, who's an actor who was hosting the show, he had the hard work. And I just sat there in the dark rock making it talk. he said, come out and check out Los Angeles. You should do that. And so I did. an agent who is starting up a voiceover agency expressed interest, which to me felt like, well, then I need to move here, which is what me and my wife did immediately.
Is that agent today somebody huge that we know?
Or? No, okay. They're not. They fell apart because I left them. And no, I don't know. I don't know what happened to them.
I was going to believe that for a second. I'm like, yes, damn, I'd fall apart too, damn it.
I'm a liar.
He's a liar.
I lie. I only got like one or two auditions at the first agency I went to, and which wasn't enough for me in a year's time.
Yeah.
So.
You're so hard to please. Jeez.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's not a very good ratio.
Not a good ratio. No. Day per audition. Mm. So I said I got to move, and so I did with a good word from my friends Chris Zimmerman and Jennifer Hale.
Nice.
And I'm now I've been with Sutton Barth and Inari ever since then, and it's been great.
Beautiful.
And a lot of fun.
Excellent.
And that's what happened to me.
Now he told us how it happened.
That is
now I understand. We can continue with the interview.
I can go in depth.
Yeah. You got something for
Dee? Going inside. Okay, so Dee, when you get the drawing and sides for a new character, how do you approach bringing it to life? I know that's kind of a...
No, that's fine. I can work with that. when I'm given the original script or maybe a rendering, you know, if I'm lucky, then I just kind of dial up whatever feels best. I mean, that's kind of a simplified way to put it. At this point, I kind of know what I do pretty well, and I've got a pretty good feel for what's out there and the various archetypes that they use in popular entertainment. You know, whether it's vaudeville or Shakespeare or you know, Lord of the Rings or Mad Max or John Carpenter's The Thing, or you know, I've kind of got this database in my mind that I dial up as sort of to set the basic flavor of what I want, because the most important thing is to try to glean the tone that the creative people want or need for this.
Yes.
And sometimes it's actually not what they think it is.
Right.
Actually, what they need and want is something different. And so I don't always give them what they ask for. I give them what I think they want.
And lucky for him, his intuition is pretty damn good.
Well, I mean, sometimes it's wildly wrong.
Yeah.
But ultimately, my job as an actor is to provide them the best thing that I can, for what I think they want. Not just to merely give them back what they think they want.
No. It's because it's, well, because you research where the business is, what things are popular, right?
Yeah.
So you're giving them something that's today with that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You really need to know the tone of what's happening. You need to know, you know, like what Adult Swim feels like, what network animation feels like, what a kids show on Disney feels like.
Exactly.
There's a tone to those, or even to a commercial, or even to a promo. There's a tone and a pace to it that fits with how it's edited and finally produced.
Right.
And if you have a feel for that in your mind, then you can edit that yourself in your audition, which
there
is kind
go.
Of what I have to do because I audition by myself.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people out there, you know who you are, who, you know, maybe audition a lot. Mm-hmm. But their gauge as far as to what to bring to that audition is not quite in sync. Maybe it's not as in sync as you are with it. What do you do to keep yourself sharp as far as like knowing what the industry wants?
Well, if you've got to the point where you put together your own home studio and you're directing yourself, it could actually be the worst possible thing to happen to your career. Because you may not have the ability to lock in on the right tone of what they want. The more you work and the more you do whatever it is that you're doing, you start to get a lock on what that is.
Right.
And I mean, personally, like I make sure that I see the different television shows. I get to see all the different movies that are out that are in the realm of the stuff that I do so that I know what they're talking about, not just in terms of the archetypes, which is also very important. For instance, if there's a really iconic performance that just came out or a really iconic monster or creature that exists or that is suddenly out, I need to know what that is. I need to know what that is because within a week or a month, you're going to see a script or two from different shows that will that's what they're writing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, this is obviously what you guys are writing, yeah. and that is what they want, whether they know it or not.
Right.
And so it's part of my responsibility to know that stuff.
Right.
I've got to know that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm not giving them what they want.
That's cool. And so you can do this whether it's with, you know, a promo or promos or commercials mm-hmm. or narration or whatever. If you're really, really in tune with what people are buying.
Yeah.
Right? And what's yeah. big out there, and you know their stuff, you can better
yeah.
serve.
You've got to saturate yourself with what is out there and working right now. That's not to say that your only job is to replicate that.
No.
Because ultimately, you've got to give your own spin and your own take on that. But if you don't know what it is, you can't necessarily deliver that. Mm.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Great stuff, man. Yeah. Really cool.
I mean, you are currently working on 5-6 different networks: Disney, Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network.
He's like, I am. Yes, you are, Dean. Yes.
I need to Google myself.
But there obviously is distinct differences between the networks. Oh, how yeah. do you keep all of that straight in your mind?
Well, I mean, it's really important, for instance, for an audition to know who's writing it, mm-hmm. and then if you just trace it back to the shows that they have done or that they're known for, that can be a very helpful clue
sure.
to know what kind of a character you're locking into, if it's realistic, if it's a little bit of character, if it's really broad, and so that's important. It's also important to know, and often you're told, the network that it's playing on and at what time, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Cartoon Network Adult Swim is a different mindset altogether from earlier in the evening.
Sure.
And then, you know, they got action shows, they got wackier shows. You know, Adventure Time is not Clone Wars,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is not the regular show, and they're very different. So if you know where the people are coming from who are making it, that is very helpful and useful information in putting together yeah. your little irresistible package of audition.
Mm.
And that's what you're trying to do, is to put together something that's irresistible, that they just have got to have this to plug this into the show
mm-hmm.
and make their show better than they thought it was
right.
ever going to be.
Right. Good point, man. What about rituals that you might have, like for warming your voice up or any exercises that you do to keep yourself, your vocal cords healthy?
I brush
besides,
my teeth.
Besides vodka?
Brush and floss.
I brush and floss every day.
He drinks Scope. He drinks Scope.
He swallows it, yeah.
Scope.
Yeah.
I swallow Scope.
Mm.
You know, I anymore, I don't. I do a little bit of light falsetto. I do that a little bit. I had a really good.
Is that just to like kind of stretch your cords out a little bit, or?
Actually, what it does is it separates the two groups of muscles that okay. make the head voice and the chest voice.
Right.
It helps to kind of separate and relax them, and to get a little bit cleaner sound up top with a. All that stuff way up
Holy
there.
Holy Toledo.
And to have that.
Christina Aguilera, eat your heart out.
Right?
That was like two octaves above her, man.
That's right. But I do that a little bit, sometimes before or sometimes afterwards. But I don't have a lot of, I don't like have teas or drinks or lozenges. Or,
right.
You know, I'm happily working enough that my voice is normally just kind of, it's used and supple and ready to go most all the time. And then I think, you know, as you get later in your career too, as you become kind of happy and lazy, that you're less reliant on all the preparation and just more confident in your ability to dial up what you know is the way that you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, you have kids. So before you leave the house, there's a little bit of screaming going on, and you're all warmed up then by then.
And I'm exhausted.
He's exhausted.
Everything's just relaxed.
So that's how he warms up. He has kids.
And I do the dishes. I brush my teeth and do the dishes.
Drink Scope.
I make
the kids.
A latte for my wife. Breakfast for the kids.
What a good husband.
Walk the dogs so that they poop. And I'm ready to go.
Nice.
That's a good ritual right there, man. That's
okay,
the ritual of a megastar.
So the creature voices.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Crazy.
How did you discover that you had this? I mean, how did that How did that come? How did you? When?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's happily again just because I didn't really have any aspirations or specific intent to my life.
You didn't have any aspirations.
No goals, no ambition.
Yeah. Yeah, just
Santa Claus. That's a big aspiration.
Well, you know, I checked that off the list early on.
Good.
Wow. Where do you go after Santa Claus?
The bucket list is empty now.
There's no bucket left. Yeah, to kick. I like animals a lot. Mm-hmm. I actually, some of my favorite classes in college, I was a philosophy major, but I took a lot of biology classes too. Mm-hmm. I really liked invertebrate zoology. I love insects. And cell biology was really terrific too. Mm-hmm. Chemistry made me cry, and so I stopped studying and, you know, on the pre-med track. But I really like science and I like animals. My dad would take me hunting when I was a kid, which I don't do anymore. and I really like monster movies and sci-fi, and I always watch monster movies and sci-fi. And so, you know, because those are things that I really like, and because I've done a lot of improv and children's theater, I'm okay with making humiliating sounds that make me look awful. Mm-hmm.
Such as?
You know, things like that. You know, I like doing that. I like it. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel happy. So, so following my life course is just making odd sounds like that. Yeah. And then occasionally when I started doing shows out here in Los Angeles, you know, they need like a dragon or they need a dog.
Yeah.
And I'd start doing those, and they liked what I was doing, and I liked doing it. So it's like, well, maybe I should drive around in a car and just work on this for a while I'm driving, something to do.
Yeah.
So
it's a good way to kill traffic time.
Yeah. So I'd listen to animal cassettes or tapes or now CDs of animals, and I would start just finding weird places to make those sounds. And the more I did that, the more people started hiring me to do that. And so I just kept doing it. And and now I do it a pretty good amount.
How big is your repertoire now of like animal sounds and insects and all that stuff? Have you ever counted them?
No, but I'm not afraid to make any little sound or anything that's just gigantic, horrible, disgusting. I was doing a horrible, big, disgusting thing yesterday. Just this diseased, tooth, mouthy, lurching around thing that would spew things off of it. I mean, it was just utterly disgusting and huge.
That's crazy,
and,
man.
And I nothing is more fun than to try to make up the sounds of what that horrible thing sounds like. It's not that I can do it, it's that I love to do it. I like it. I find it interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. What are like some of your favorite crazy monster or insect voices that you do?
I like inhale sounds a lot.
Inhale sounds.
Mm. Yeah. There's a lot of.
Does that hurt?
Nah, it feels good.
Oh my God!
What I love is I can tell you are so happy when you're doing
you
that.
Are,
it just
it feels dude, good. Your it eyes are
it,
like.
It feels really good.
It feels good. He gets high on inhaling himself.
I get high on voiceovers, the natural way.
Yeah.
what are some others, man?
I like the uvula a lot.
The
Chuck?
Uvula?
I like the uvula, Chuck.
Well, all men like the uvula.
It's. Because you can use a lot of your throat. You don't have to rip up your voice.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Oh my, is that crazy or what? Now, hold on. We need a disclaimer right now because I know that somebody out there.
Do not try that.
Somebody out there is going to try and do that.
Oh my God! And their eardrum is going to explode.
Like scanners.
Oh yeah. My God! What about a cricket? Can you do a cricket?
Do not try that at home.
Whistling's fun. The cricket gag is, I use that a lot.
It's just, I mean, yeah, you did that as you were walking in. I mean, it's just, it's like,
it's
that and the birds, you were just chirping along as you came in.
But you can, I mean, that's, if you just sit around and just mess with it, you can find your whistle and then you just start to vary it.
Now, on that topic, okay, if you were going to tell somebody.
He's not done yet.
No,
trust me, he's just like, I gotta do this, it feels good.
It's just amusing my thing.
Yeah, I'm making love to my lips. If you were going to show somebody how to do maybe like a voice or a certain thing, like how would you have them start? Like something easy. Show me how to do an animal that's easy.
I've never
taught anybody how to do an animal, Chuck.
Well, I mean, the cricket, I can just show you how to do the cricket sound. It's really pretty simple.
Okay, let's learn how to do
it. So it just starts with a whistle, which is a. It can be an inhale or an exhale, whichever you like. For me, the inhale, I can get it higher.
Yeah, I'm more of an inhaler.
Then the second part is. It's like you're gargling, like the back of your tongue against a soft palate, which is. Yeah, there you go, like a Bob Hope, that kind of thing. Then while you're whistling, you engage that.
Or Chewbacca.
That's it. That's right. That's exactly the right part of mouth. There. So while you're whistling, you just engage that. So it's. See, look at that. You can do it.
Wow!
Look at that.
Dude, you are amazing. I'm moving in with you. Not like that. I'll live in the garage or something like that. That is so cool, man. Yeah. Put it there.
Yes, good job.
I learned how to do cricket.
Cool.
I hope you did too.
Yeah, but you keep practicing it, and you'll find you can do it higher and lower.
I am going to practice that.
And then you can insert it at uncomfortable moments, and it's fun.
So unbelievably cool.
It's fun.
Wow, I'm blown away. Okay, you go. Ask him something.
So obviously, I mean, you do so many different aspects with your creature and your monster voices. What is the challenge of having to act them?
Well, the challenge is always of specificity, of intent. That is the reason that I'm hired and that they don't use a sound library. Is
or a real monster.
Right, a real monster.
So they can control you.
Right, well, that's right. But they can get the specific intent of the creature or alien or whatever it is very quickly and efficiently. Because that can be cobbled together with a good sound design person, but that can take a long time. And the director doesn't necessarily want to be sitting around for that.
Right.
Unless you just want to give it to the sound guy and say, you make my King Kong or make, you know, whatever. But with me, the value that I add to it, hopefully, is that I can get them exactly what they want, hopefully better than what they thought they were going to get, but I can get it very quickly and efficiently. So that it's the specific intent and tone of the scene and the creature there is exactly right for the scene that they've created.
Right.
For that, you often need a human.
You've
got like an alien ostrich or something. That it's like really this is really a dog what you got this the, when you look at how it works in the animatic or the script is you need a dog, so you need something with that kind of intent, and then I can come up with suggestions maybe for other little reactions that might be appropriate that would fill in what it is that they need, but that's for that they need a human being to do that.
Wow. And there's not a lot of them that do that.
No.
So man, have you created a niche?
Yeah,
really, really cool.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the thing is, there are people, and there are other guys that do that. I mean, you know, Fred Tatasciore, Frank Welker, of course. Yeah. He's the Mac Daddy of all. But you don't really, and then there are others that I know, men and women, they got the instrument. They've got the mind for it, but they don't love it. They're not really drawn to it.
Right, right.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I could have been a great lawyer, but I would have been a miserable lawyer. Mm. But I could. It's something that I could do.
Yeah.
I've got a mind for it, but I don't love it, and so there's no point in pursuing it.
Wow.
And it's like a lot of things, I think, in acting or performing, where you can't come at it from purely a calculation, a career or a life.
Yeah.
And not just a calculation of, you know, what'll get me money or what'll get me the lifestyle I want.
Mm-hmm.
But it really has to come from something that you love to do, that's an activity that really fires you, and from that will come a career that is fun and hopefully lucrative,
yeah,
and that draws people to you for the right reasons.
Exactly.
Yes.
Not for that something that just streams out of you, out of your confidence and out of your love for it,
yeah,
not out of need or want or desperation, mm-hmm, or calculation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's not why anybody hires anything.
You're absolutely, yeah,
they,
right.
They hire confidence, and mm-hmm, they hire a love of what it is that they're, yeah, doing, mm-hmm, that just pours out.
Wow. You know? Yeah. Very well said, man. And listen, I am freaking out, but I want to play a little game with you. And Deed has no idea what I'm about, yeah, to ask him right now. This is live.
It's a new segment, yeah, on VOBuzz Weekly.
I think this would be cool. So I'm going to ask you questions.
Yes.
Just some few questions that you'll know the answers to, probably.
Okay.
Will you answer me back with like your favorite monsters? No words, just how a monster would say it.
I'll, okay, take that challenge.
Okay, he's going to take that challenge. Ready? Okay, here we go.
For one apple. For the first green apple.
For the first green apple.
An apple.
Yeah, yeah. So.
For an apple.
So, tell me, monster, what is your name? Where are you from? Do you mean to cause us any harm, or do you love us?
Do you come in peace?
What is your favorite food? I think he said, I don't eat food, I eat people.
I think he said lasagna.
Dude, that's freaking great. So that's what he
so
does.
So awesome.
That's what he does.
And yes.
That is,
it's yeah, so cool, man. Freaking crazy.
But it's just so obvious that, I mean, you have the technique, but layered in there is what you cannot teach, what you cannot train, which is your heart and your passion for it. And I love that.
You know, what it really comes down to me is it's beyond technique. It's having a clear concept of what it is that you want to bring out of thin air.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's really acting is what that is. It really, even if it's nonverbal, it's what you have to do as an actor, no matter if you're on camera or off camera,
mm-hmm,
is that you have a specific idea of something that you are fully realizing in whatever situation you have. And that's kind of what we do.
Well, that's it. Our flash drives on our cameras have run out of memory once again.
Nuts.
But that concludes part one with Dee Bradley Baker. Please tune in next week for part two. You're going to love it.
He's so great.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, you guys, go to VOBuzzWeekly.com, check out our blog, and send us your raves. Tell us how VOBuzz Weekly is helping your life, your business.
Yes.
We want to hear from you. Plus, find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest at VOBuzz Weekly. Take care until next time, and just remember, you always have time for a little buzz.
Don't just listen to VOBuzz Weekly. Watch the show in stunning HD video at VOBuzzWeekly.com, on their YouTube channel, or on the app.
VOBuzz Weekly is sponsored by Chuck Durand's Demos That Rock.
Rock.
The voiceover demo producer to the stars is now available to you. Visit DemosThatRock.com and take your voiceover career to the next level.
See you next time. And remember, you always have time for a little buzz.